like fucking
legit fat podcast.
Would you like to support this?
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
Well, welcome back to another Legit Bat Podcast. I'm Joe. Jen is not here tonight.
Yes.
Where's the other one? She is working still, so she will not be joining us today, but we'll make do. Ben is also here. Yes, there you go with your salute, a.k.a. Sizzle Nuts this week, I guess. I'm going to come up with new nicknames for you every week, yeah. You're also known as that, though, you know, in my book. I did want to mention off the top that we're going to be in the Salem / Boston area at the end of the month, the 28th, I think, through the March 2nd or something. So if anybody's in that area and wants to catch up and have a beer, we're going to be meeting with Ron from New England, maybe Andy from the Deep Share, maybe NY Patriot, not our guest tonight, Matt. Fuck him, because he's going to be out of town that weekend. The one weekend, we're going to be on the other side of the country, and he's not going to be in town. But Matt's been on a million times, and we've been on his show. He runs Monday Night Master Debaters on the show, The Great Deception Podcast. And I know it started out as kind of a, you know, World's Fair, all the things that you're kind of known for looking into. But what have you been doing lately? Welcome, by the way.
What's up, guys? Yeah, well, it's funny because lately, like real lately, like the last couple months, I was always into the old world. And unfortunately, one of my buddies that I did a lot of old world and especially like old world Chicago research came down with pancreatic cancer. So he had to step away, obviously, and is treating that. And it kind of took my heart out of the old world. So I kind of pushed away from that and I'm waiting for him to come back and we'll get back into that realm. So I've just been doing a lot of like current events. Look how crazy shit is. Like I put together three-hour COVID episodes, just different clips of the nonsense that went on, you know, the total gaslighting that they did on us, all that fun stuff. So it's kind of like a record of the nonsense. And then lately I've been doing like Biden's digital equity, where he's trying to take over the internet kind of thing. And then we get into, I'm working on an episode right now with, I call it the acronym wars, where it's like DEI and the Agenda 2030, sustainable development goals, all these little acronyms that they use, you know, what's the other big one? ESG, you know, all these things they put as a guise to help humanity and everything, when in reality, it's just them trying to make themselves feel good and screw everybody over.
What's ESG?
Environmental, social,
and government. And
corporate governance. They forget the C in there, but yeah, it's mostly corporate. And it's ESG is what those things they follow. Any of the, you know, virtue signaling you see by the big corporations where they all put pride flags up during that month, or they, you know, Black History, all that, that's all part of like ESG standardization for companies, where they're like, do these things and you get funding and make sure everybody knows you're doing it.
So like that sensitivity you can, training.
Yeah. And a lot of times it actually, it hurts their baseline a lot of times because there's people like us that are, you know, that like, or I don't really boycott shit, but there is whole groups of people that will boycott companies for that. They don't care though, because they're getting kind of subsidized by this ESG thing. So it's just stupid. And if you look into it at all, it falls apart.
But the craziest thing is who they're subsidized by. It goes back to the Black Rocks, the State Streets, the Vanguards. Mm. It all goes, it's like a, you know, pyramid. It all goes into these groups and they're basically the puppet masters that say, hey, you guys need capital. We have a lot of capital. You just have to play by our rules and do these things. And as long as you do them, the money will be there for you.
Yeah. Gotcha. And the broad spectrum of environmental and social, that could be fucking anything. And they just kind of make it up as they go along. They're like, you got to do this thing for climate change. That's why it's so across the board ubiquitous when you look at the news and everything, is because they're all playing by the same planned kind of, not to sound conspiratorial, but it is. I mean, look it up.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like it's a script, you know, and they won't go off of it. And everybody's been given that. And that's what you talk to. And if you go off of it, you get put in timeout. And it's funny because, you know, even at the World Economic Forum, you know, they say the biggest crisis facing humanity right now is misinformation. That's the number one thing that's, you know, out of all the things going on in the world right now, the number one thing they're working on is misinformation. And, you know, if that doesn't tell you everything right there, you know,
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it does make sense because there is a lot of misinformation out there, but they're the arbiters of what is misinformation and what isn't. And, you know, Snopes or all these fact checkers, those are the ones that say what misinformation is when sometimes clearly they're wrong. I think it was Charlie Robinson posted an episode one time that said, who will fact check the fact checkers? I mean, yeah. How many layers do you want to go with that? Because there's got to be checks and balances. Well, and some of them are so obviously wrong. Like when Biden said Negro, and a bunch of people posted that video, there's a fact check underneath that was like, no, he didn't say that. That's all it said for the fact check. It just said, no, it didn't happen. It's like, okay, what? The video is right. I mean, not that we can trust any videos anymore, but this is kind of the AI thing.
That's exactly. See, even in that little explanation that you just gave, you were following the exact path that they wanted you to go. It's like, well, you have the video, then you have the fact check. And then it's like, well, can we really trust the video? And boom. It's like, because that's where my mind went too, is I'm like, well, you know, people doctor videos. It's like, fuck, they just won. It's like, they just won because they put a little label on there and it made me think, well, I can't trust the video these days. And that's exactly the whole thing. Like, I disagree that misinformation is a peril because you've had people selling elixirs in carts in every major town, sometimes with poisons in them, killing people. And all they did was run them out of town. Like, hey, we don't want your shit here. It's like this whole misinformation being a peril thing. I'm like, no, it's not. Misinformation and lies, which is what it really is. It's like, if it's misinformation, it's a fucking lie. It's either true or it's not true. It's like lies have been around forever and they're not going to go anywhere. If you can't look at something yourself and go, you know what? I don't know if that's true, so I'm not going to trust it. You know what? I know that that's not true, so fuck them. If you can't do that on your own, you're missing the whole fucking point of existence.
And it doesn't matter. It should be up to the individual person. Not, I don't mean up to the individual person to decide what's true, but I mean, kind of. If you're looking at something that's obviously fake, who cares if they're saying it? The truth will play itself out in enough time.
Yes.
And then that it's like free market idea, you know, where everybody will come to know that's actually not true. We didn't need that to be censored to know it's not true. We have several other sources now that say that's not true. And we've seen it for ourselves, or, you know, we've seen it firsthand.
I go the other direction with it. I'm like, you know what? That shit's not true. Let them.
Yeah.
Because then more people get exposed to a fucking idiot who's actually trying to do that. And all it does is it just perpetuates that if you left people the ability to go, I'm going to think for myself, and I think that's a lie. The majority of people are going to think that. Like, it's when you see something that's true, the majority of people see it and go, that's true. When you see a lie, the majority of people say, that's a fucking lie. Doesn't happen all the time. But if you just let that fucker play out, the person telling the lie is going to be discredited by a huge majority of people that are like, I don't trust the thing that fucker says. And boom, being natural has just taken its course and defeated them.
Well, and you have to be careful with that, though, too, because then it gets into consensus reality, and that's where consensus science came in. True. And it's like, no, most of the people agree on this, so that is now fact.
Right.
There was consensus science on certain sharp things and certain pathogens and whatever. So
bloodletting.
Yeah. Do cocaine about it. Fixes everything.
Well, it's amazing because you look at the people that are doing it, and the only lies, like you said, Joe, are the ones that they're perpetrating, you know? And the thing is it's interesting now, you listen to the politicians and they're all, you know, they're here to protect democracy. Well, first of all, I don't want to live in a democracy, right? I want to go back to living in the constitutional republic. That's what we should all be aiming for. And these guys now, they use that, and lies are just anything that goes counter to the narrative, whether it's true or not, you know, and this whole idea that we need bumpers and we need safety nets and we need to be protected. That's intentional, you know, and you look at the school system and the way that's degraded over the last 30 years, it's just gone straight downhill and it's intentional. I mean, my kid doesn't have homework anymore.
Damn.
You know what my kid's homework was the other day? They just got a new teacher in and he loved his old teacher and they got this new dude in. He seems like he sucks. I mean, it's all I know about him is coming from a 12-year-old, but still, he seems like he sucks. And he gave him homework one day that was literally coloring. Like, he gave him a coloring pad and said, this is your homework. It wasn't like for art class or anything. He's in fucking sixth grade. It was just, his teacher was like, here's your homework. Go home to your safe place and color. And my kid was like, not having it. He's like, I'm not doing that. He's like, good, fucking don't tell him to fuck himself. Not in those words, but you know.
Yeah, and when he gets,
if you want,
and go ahead. He's like, if you should tell him, like, yeah. And if you get an F on your homework, tell him that's your dad saying F for fuck you.
Well, no, I was like, I just do it like a 3-year-old, just like color all over the fucker and be like, there you go.
Yeah, it's a Hunter Biden.
I did my best.
Yeah, yeah. Special one of one.
Speaking of current events and our fucking world. What do you guys think about the video of Tucker about to go do his interview with Putin?
He did it. I heard somebody talking about that.
So I checked this morning and it wasn't on the website and I hadn't checked this afternoon yet.
I saw a clip. I've only seen clips. I saw the clip where he asked Putin about the Nord Stream pipeline and Putin said it was us that did it, you know, you that did it, he said to him, and he said the CIA is responsible. They're the only ones that know how to do that kind of stuff. So
I think that's fucking true.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Well, and that's what I saw a tweet by Dave Smith, and he's like, you know, I think he's going a little far, but he's saying, you know, Tucker's essentially an American hero, just putting, not only getting an interview with Putin, allowing people to hear the other side of the story.
Because uncut and unedited, heard, too.
Yeah, all we've heard for 3 years is Ukraine, Putin bad. Never with a chance to even explain his side or anything, you know? And that's the crux of our, you know, existence right now. Is
one-sided.
That's it. You cannot have discussion.
Right.
You know, it's, and
which they're on the right path for totalitarianism. If they take out free speech, that's where it ends, because you no longer can talk about the rules being wrong without fear of being imprisoned or having some kind of consequence.
Well, and even just something simple like YouTube, looking at you, YouTube, we got a video taken down because of like a 10-word joke. It was very clearly a joke. And it got instantly removed. I don't know if you've ever uploaded things to YouTube, people, but when you do, it does this thing at the end that says processing. It's not fucking doing shit. It's already uploaded. What it's doing is it's searching every goddamn word in there, and this will all be transcribed, what I'm saying right now, and looking for certain keywords and certain, you know, whatever they're looking for, and it's stupid. So I'm not worried about going to jail yet. It's just stupid things like getting censored, and they call it misinformation, and they choose what misinformation is. They're very vague about it. And they just say, nope, can't do it.
Like, I don't even post to YouTube anymore because of that. I got 2 strikes now on YouTube. And one of them was for reading articles about the 6 million number from like 19 and 1800s newspapers. And
about the certain thing that happened in Germany, or?
Well, just that number had been in the news for 50 years prior to that. You know, that same thing was going to happen in Russia. That same thing was going to happen over here. That same thing was going to happen in America, you know, like all this weird stuff. And then it happened in Germany. But there's a thing to that number. I think it's in the Talmud related to that number. And, you know, I can dig back through it, but now the kicker was, guess when I got it removed? I put it up in March of 22. I got a strike in October of 23.
Yeah, sometimes they're
right after
bit,
all that shit went down, they bang me a year and a half later.
So stupid.
And so I was like, I'm done with YouTube. So I don't even post over there anymore. I'm done with it.
Yeah, and I do it mostly just as kind of an ad for everywhere else we are, because I know all the eyes are on YouTube, but I'm not expecting this to last for very long, especially if another certain thing happens this year. It's an election year. We're going to be talking a lot of shit about it. So this might be, we might have a good run, but I did find this thing about the Tucker Carlson Putin thing. But Ben, sorry, I cut you off. What were you about to say?
Oh, I don't even fucking remember. Go for it.
Oh, brain farted already. So it just says Putin rants about Ukraine, detained U.S. journalists in history in Tucker Carlson interview. So there's a video. Can you guys thumbs up if you can hear this? Because I never fucking know if I have the settings right. So hang on. Let's push play here. If it'll play. Is this a real video? Maybe not. Oh, wait.
That's different. No, that's Boris Johnson. You don't want that one.
No.
Your best bet's to go on X.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I think that was the top
result. No, that's why I sent you the link. He has the full interview for free at tuckercarlson.com.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, is it in the chat?
Yeah. You could probably watch it on X, too, if you're on X.
Well, let me just... Interview X. So that was the search result, though. What the fuck?
Yeah, they don't. Google's not putting his fucking shit in the search engine. You shitting me?
So, and
you gotta go to the URL for that, bro.
Everybody has their own opinions on Tucker Carlson, too, and I don't know what to fucking think about him. He's too, a little too famous to be completely trustworthy, but at least he's giving, the other side of the.
Well, I think he built that off of his dad's coattails, but the thing is, he also got fired.
Is an interview with the press.
Sorry. Yeah, he got fired from Fox, right?
Yeah, because he was saying things at the start of about like, well, now hold on a second. How come it is that you have Democrats who are always anti-war all of a sudden pro-war? Why is that a thing? Should we be worried about the fact that suddenly our entire government is bipartisan in going to war against Russia for Ukraine?
Right.
Like that doesn't happen. It's always been split. When we went to a war in Iraq, Vietnam, Korea, it was always split. The last great war that everybody was on board with was World War II. Since then, it's always been very split. But all of a sudden, Ukraine gets invaded and everybody on both sides of the aisles is like, oh, yeah, we need to give all of our money to this. He's like, that makes me wonder why everybody is agreeing on this. So,
well, I mean, because they're all in on the money laundering, probably. But so let's.
Oh, absolutely. Because from 1999 to 2014, one of the largest donors to the Clinton Foundation was Ukraine. So, it's just obvious. And then there was the coup, and then ever since then, it's.
Well, and Zelensky, the comedic actor, was installed. And he's just playing his part, literally playing his part. It's so blatantly obvious.
I heard today he may get, he may deport to Florida and set up residence there.
Oh. Where, in Mar-a-Lago or what?
What a president.
Why not?
So there's, for the audio listeners, there's a timestamp headline on TuckerCarlson.com. Which way do you guys want to go with this? So there's introduction. Putin gives a history of Russia and Ukraine, NATO expansion, NATO and Bill Clinton, Ukraine, what triggered this conflict, a peaceful solution, who blew up the Nord Stream pipelines, reestablishing communication with the U.S., how powerful is Zelensky, Elon Musk, and AI?
Go to the triggering. Go to see what triggered this conflict.
All right.
Because Tucker was one of the first ones to bring up
trigger
that
for you.
If you put it into the idea of the United States, Mexico is Ukraine, and we're Russia. And the whole rest of the world has decided that they are going to put troops closer and closer and closer to America in Mexico. Dude, they would have nuked fucking we would have nuked Mexico a long time ago and given the middle finger to all of the NATO countries who had their troops. They're like, nah, we're not letting you get that close to our fucking border with troops. So you get the fuck out of here. Like, we made a pact that we would not push NATO troops farther and farther, and we kept breaking that over and over. Every time we pushed the NATO troops farther, they'd bring those 175,000 people to the border, back and forth, back. And then we, in turn, would turn around and go, well, Putin's putting his troops back at the border. Is he planning on invading Ukraine? Also, platoon two, go farther up that way. Maybe he won't see us. Like,
no, it's a double standard all around. Yeah. Like, this, everybody brought this up when the Ukraine thing started. They were like, so it's cool for the U.S. to do that exact same thing all over the world, but Russia tries to defend its borders from NATO, which it has clearly stated it doesn't want, and now everybody's back Ukraine on the whole thing didn't make sense. All you have to do is look into it for like 5 or 10 minutes, and you're like, what?
And there's an agreement that Ukraine will not join NATO. I mean, and what were they doing? They were honey dipping, trying to get them into NATO. It was all, you know, you're in the back seat with your brother, you hit him, and then you yell, stop hitting me, you know?
Right.
And all the while, the whole thing that nobody ever mentions, by the way, is the 15,000 people that had died the previous 2 years in the territories of Donetsk, and they had separated from Ukraine. So they wanted to be part of Russia. That was back from the split in the 2014 revolution, coup, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And so what was happening was the Azov battalion was literally shelling these people.
Actual Nazis, by the way.
Yes. Shelling these people relentlessly. And they kept asking for help. And Russia, you know, that was one of the things, you know, along with this NATO, the whole NATO situation where, yeah, somebody's, you know, somebody keeps building closer and closer to your property and they keep moving the fence closer and closer. And then eventually they set it up right on the property line and then they start putting turrets right on the property line. And you're like, oh, nothing to see here. That's OK. They're not on my side yet.
Yeah. It's like you said, I'm not touching you. Yeah. As they hold your finger a half inch away. It's just provocation. They're just posturing. It's stupid.
That's all it is.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of this. Probably not going to get too far into it because it's a 2-hour fucking interview and y'all can go fucking watch it yourself. But I do want to kind of hear what he says on this timestamp Ben selected. So tell me if you can hear it.
What was the moment where you decided you had to do this?
No, спровоцировал конфликт.
Initially, it was the coup in Ukraine that provoked the conflict. By the way, back then the representatives of three European countries, Germany, Poland, and France, arrived. They were the guarantors of the signed agreement between the government of Yanukovych and the opposition. They signed it as guarantors. Despite that, the opposition committed a coup and all these countries pretended that they didn't remember that they were guarantors of the peaceful settlement. They just threw it in the stove right away, and nobody recalls that. I don't know if the U.S. know anything about the agreement between the opposition and the authorities, and its three guarantors who, instead of bringing this whole situation back in the political field, supported the coup. Although it was meaningless, believe me. Because President Yanukovych agreed to all conditions. He was ready to hold an early election, which he had no chance of winning, frankly.
Okay, well, we can stop there. So yeah, like I said, it's 2 hours, TuckerCarlson.com if you want to watch it. But it's so funny because if you... even say, I'm not even saying, you know, Putin's a great guy. He's probably a pile of shit like the rest of them. He guarantee you he's held a 50 cal to somebody's head, pulled the trigger, smiled and had a vodka and went about his day.
Oh yeah.
That's probably happened several times.
He's ex-KGB.
Right. So I'm not.
He's killed so many opponents.
the weirdest part about it is that people will say, oh, what he said was right on this. If you say that, you're automatically.
Oh yeah.
Pro Russia and you're a Nazi now and you don't back Ukraine. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all. Listen to what the dude's fucking saying. He's not saying untrue things. So,
well, it's you know, you go back to what rehashed about 2 months ago with the Osama bin Laden letter that came out and was, you know, big news again, that he, you know, when he declared war on America and basically said, hey, listen, you guys have been attacking us and attacking our people for years. We're going to start fighting back. You know, there's only so much you can take. And that's the thing, like we talked about before, the thing that bothers me the most is why haven't for the past 3 years, we heard the other side of this argument. It's always has to be one-sided. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's this election that's coming up, whether it was the mysterious bug that went around for 2 years, the sharp needles.
I think we're going on 4 years now with that. I still see signs.
I saw a great thing the other day. It was a guy's going around with a camera. Anybody that he sees with a mask on, he goes, "Can I interview you? I'm trying to find the last masked person." He goes, "I'm going to search all the country until I find the last masked person. You might be it."
That's going to be a tough find, because even where we live is still, I see it all the time, and it's mostly, you can tell, I hate to profile. No, I love it. I love profiling, but when
you know who they vote for,
right? I can tell at least five things about somebody from a 10 second glance. I can be
absolutely.
I know at least five true things about you. I'm not a mind reader. You're just putting it right on your shoulder and I can see it. You might as well be wearing a shirt. Sometimes they are. So,
and the one thing that it does, it's great because I am walking right past that person. There's zero chance I will engage with anyone with a mask anymore.
Most of the time I'm at work, so I can't really, it would look bad on my, job if I were to do over. That, but so I'll give him a look though. I'll give him a look like, okay, you know what I'm looking at, motherfucker. No, I'm okay, staring right at your stupid face.
You 100% can. If you see a Prius with a coexist sticker on the back of it,
I know what they're about.
Yep. And then you drive past them and you can tell that they've hated their life because, I don't know, maybe their thyroid is out, but for whatever reason they're large, and then they have a blue Flock of Seagulls haircut. You know exactly if they're wearing a mask and all of those other things are there. You're like, I know exactly what kind of a conversation we would have, and it would end with you yelling at me.
I can tell five things about you. You're non-binary and or gender fluid. You definitely voted for Biden and think he should be the president again for 4 years. You're very scared and want to stay in your house.
The jab is great.
You have 14 gallons of hand sanitizer at the ready, probably in the back of your Prius.
Anyone with a red hat is an enemy.
Right, and you have 16 sharp things within the last 4 years. We got it. See? Am I wrong? Some of those would be off. They'd be like, no, I only had 15. You know, they'd get real nitpicky if you were to actually do this to them. They'd be like, no, you were wrong. I only wear the mask when I'm alone in my Prius. Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry.
Fucking Christ.
I wish Jen was here to rebut us on our assholeness, because she's the one that would be like, okay, it doesn't matter, you know, I'll still talk to him. I'll talk to him too. I'll see how far I can get before I want to shoot myself in the head.
I love how your stint of being Jen lasted about four words before you already rebutted yourself in a hypothetical Jen.
Yeah. I argue with her in my head. She's still sitting here. She's just... No, I love it. What do you think is coming? I hate the prophecy thing. I was going to talk about the Apple Vision Pro. From what I've seen of it, dumb, not worth the money. It looks cool. It's probably nifty. If somebody gave one to me, fuck yeah, I'm going to use it. Not paying almost $4,000 for it. That aside, there's other things like the solar eclipse. A lot of people are talking, a lot of people, numerology and those kind of people are looking at, I think it's in April, this crazy eclipse that's making an X. They're talking about it in correlation with X, now formerly Twitter. X is a big, I don't know, occult letter or something. And so there's a bunch of stuff coming up in April, and it is weird the way that a lot of these people, Matt Landman from Frankensky is talking a lot about it too, and most of it's biblical prophecy, and I know that's a turnoff for some people, but I don't think the Bible is just Jesus in saving you, and there's other shit in there that is strange. So I don't know if you've looked at all into that, Matt. Have you looked into the eclipse that's coming and all that stuff? And I hate putting dates on things. And
I'm not into the whole date thing. I'm not into the whole we're in Revelation thing. I mean, it's they've been saying that.
I wish we were.
The 80s. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just, is shit gonna happen? Yes. Is that eclipse thing crazy? Yeah. Why? Why? Because there's something with the X, right? And you mentioned it, that there's a cult symbolism in it. And because what did the World Economic Forum was just talking about disease X on top of everything too.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah.
So there's all of these X, you know, monikers out there. So it's some sort of spell they're drumming up. I don't know, you know, to what extent.
This is getting into the fringes of what I'll even fucking entertain.
Yeah.
But it is fun to look at, especially since I learned some things along the way. I had no idea there were so many fucking cities in the U.S. called Nineveh. Do you remember what Nineveh is from the Bible?
Yeah.
Jonah and the big fish.
Goes to Nineveh.
Yep.
There's a shitload of cities in the U.S. called Nineveh, and apparently the eclipse, the moon and the sun thing, are passing right through, like, all of them, mm-hmm. and also through a lot of Salem's. That shit's weird, but every time something like this comes up and everybody's talking about it, absolutely nothing happens, so I'm not holding my breath for it. It is weird, but I'm still like, I don't think anything's going to happen. Like,
here's my take on that, is I don't think it's weird that they're passing over cities that are called that, because I have a feeling those cities were called that when something like that happened before.
I just had no idea any city in the U.S. was called Nineveh. That's a weird fucking name. And it's very specific to a Bible story. It's crazy.
Aren't there other cities named None of It?
Nunya?
Like Nunuvit, I think.
I don't know. There's weird names everywhere. But,
the and, balls yeah. on Paris, Tennessee.
And now, time for your friendly ad break.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
That's another rabbit hole, actually, the whole I know you've looked into that, yeah. Matt, the Egypt thing and all the names that correspond.
Egypt in America, yeah, it's wild, weird. Especially when you go around the Mississippi, which, you know, some people say is the Nile, the real river. And
yeah.
What?
If you overlay the maps, Matt's done this. If you overlay the maps of Egypt and the Mississippi in that area, it's pretty fuck crazy how close it is.
And you have massive complexes there. You had Cahokia there. You had all sorts of mound complexes up and down the river that were massive. I mean, and that doesn't even get you to the Grand Canyon, which is a whole nother rabbit hole in itself, where there's all sorts of Egyptian relics in there and statues and things like that. And
that they found?
Yeah. Yeah, what? It's protected by the, you can't go in there anymore.
This is why there's conspiracy theories, is because every time they have something like that and they're like, you can't go check it out. Oh, it's for safety. Or like Antarctica, some 50 something countries all signed the same agreement saying you can't go down there. Why do you think there's fucking conspiracy theories? Tell us why we can't go down there.
Dude. They've had this video recirculating again on Facebook of, I think it's 1950s, the interview with Admiral Byrd, talking about how
an actual video.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I'll have to find it and send it to you. But they were talking to him about, I think it was his first expedition, you know, before the one he got lost, or whatever it was, and they were asking him, and you could tell that he was like trying not to sound crazy because he knew that he was going to sound crazy. So he's kind of like, yeah, I mean, let's just say there's definitely things out there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you talk about these things, you're going to sound crazy against the mainstream narrative. And if some of these things gain too much traction, they ramp up the anti-narrative to it so that you look even crazier. And they're like, look, these people have walked across Antarctica. Obviously, Earth is round and Antarctica is a big ice thing, and shut up now.
I'll hand this over to Matt, and then something actually on that, Joe. So go ahead, Matt.
This is just a newspaper article from back in the day. And it's talking about the explorations in the Grand Canyon and the mysteries of immense rich cavern being brought to light. And it just, you can't really read it here, but the original, I mean, it talks about what they found in there. There were different statues that had very Egyptian features to them. They found hieroglyphs in there. There was all sorts of stuff that, you know, had very Egyptian feel to it.
And of course, you know, the Snopes answer, not even Snopes, just your average dumb fucking troll on the internet is going to be like, actually, that's because of na-na-na. And they just have like a pat response to it and they just write it off, which is fine. I'm cool with that. I don't deal with trolls.
Well, the Smithsonian
anymore.
Denies it. I mean,
that's another rabbit hole.
A fucking sack of shit.
That's the best part. It's like the
cover-up. They have covered up so much shit. They've covered up all the giant skeletons that people have found. I remember hearing back
they probably
in
have Jesus in a cage in there somewhere.
Like, probably. And probably like Hitler right next to him. They're probably buddies.
Smoking weed and shit. They're having a great time. Jesus was like, you're right,
I failed,
dude.
But you did good.
After being down here so long, Hitler, you were right. My dad agrees too.
I'm just joking. I love your people. So when you're talking about they ramp up the anti-narrative, Maja and Faja came over on Sunday and I told them about that movie that came out, The Sound of Freedom. Now, when I first saw everything about it, I went, whatever. And then as I started digging a little bit more, I went, oh, well, hold on a second. So back in 2014, if none of you have heard about this, I highly recommend watching the movie. Here is why. 2014, this guy rose to fame as an independent dude who was going to these other countries to find kids that were getting sold in sex trafficking. And it all started because of one boy that to this day has not been able to be found. But since then, he's been able to save thousands of kids and put hundreds, if not more, in prison. He left his job with the State Department as a DOD official working for Border Patrol, I believe, because he would literally see a kid that they had on a wanted poster just on the other side of the border being trafficked into Mexico, and he was not allowed to go get them. Okay. They're hailing this guy on CNN and everything else as a hero in like 2013 or 14. His name is Tim Ballard. In 2015, they have this idea to make a movie about some of the raids and things like that he had done. He wore like a body cam, so it's kind of rough, like the real footage. They did a documentary following the movie showing like, here are some of the real raids that the movie was based on, because it's actually a true story. So they have the real Tim Ballard in a 1-hour documentary, and then they have the movie, which is an hour and a half, and it stars Jim Caviezel, who has been on a myriad of big things back in the early 2000s. He was the Count in The Count of Monte Cristo with Guy Pearce and Henry Cavill. And
wasn't he Jesus on The Passion of the Christ?
I believe so.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I believe so. So like, yeah, he's a big name actor, and Tim Ballard happened to already know him, and he didn't want Hollywood to produce this movie because they were just going to make it an action thriller. But nobody would take the movie. Why? Who in Hollywood would want to take a movie exploiting, you know, child sex trafficking and pedos? No one. So he gets a couple of like no name studios. I think Angel Studios was who produced the movie. Takes them 8 years to get the movie made. They have almost no funding. They had to do a GoFundMe and a Kickstart and like all of this stuff to finally get it to release. And then they had to partner with individual theaters across the United States to get it to actually play. While I'm telling mom and dad this, I'm looking for the documentary. This is on Sunday. And a month ago, there was a video post from a news organization saying none other than multiple women came out accusing him of with sex allegations. And I looked at mom and dad and I go, dude, because when the movie hit last year in July, the headlines were reading, like big headlines were saying, oh, this is just a movie for aggro dads with a hero complex, like shitting all over the movie. And I'm all, it's a movie about saving kids from sex trafficking. Like, it's a rough watch.
You should be aggro about that.
You should be aggro about that. You should want to save the kids.
Unless you're on a soy protein fucking infusion all day, you should be pretty aggro about that.
So 7 months later, all of a sudden, a bunch of sexual misconduct or whatever allegations come out by multiple women who are speaking out. And I go, dude, I couldn't have timed this better. I go, if this doesn't add credence to the exact thing that has happened so many times, specifically in the last 5 to 10 years, some guy goes, you know what, fuck the system, and actually gets some traction and gets noticed for it. The very next thing is to bring something against him in the exact same field that's going to completely discredit everything he does. I'm like, maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe when you're having to act like a pedo to go save kids, you get some weird sexual fantasies and you hit on some women that you shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe that's it.
It's funny how none of this comes up till something happens, like this movie becomes popular.
Yes.
Did you forget about that for the last 10 years and you just decided now? Or were you maybe paid off by a certain three-letter agency?
Or was it, we'll find out. Was it consensual and now he ran into a hell of a lot more money?
There's that too.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is make a lawsuit about it.
Because I think that's one of the things that they do, right? You're going to, as soon as it draws attention to it, they're going to deflect it. And right. They're going to get your eyes away from it. They can draw up all that energy and stir up all the energy on that one side because they know nothing's going to change.
Yeah, like all the bad reviews came out right after it dropped to try to stop the traction. And when it didn't stop the traction, it was a huge success and a bunch of light got shown in fucking deep, dark cracks that nobody wanted to fucking have a light on. It's like, all right, well, now we got to try to discredit him because that's our last play.
Yep.
Yep. And it happens over and over again. And it is weird how often it is in that exact field, the sex trafficking and child, you know, shit. And this is a part of the darkness that I went down when I first started looking into all this stuff, and I really don't like to do it. I mean, who does?
No, but nobody does.
Once you stumble upon that, and some of it's crazy, I don't know how much of it to believe, but when you look at how much of that goes on in Hollywood and how much it's covered up, okay, here's one for the people who have never looked into this. Think about the Catholic Church. Yeah. That's a thing. That's a real thing. And nothing ever happens to these priests. They're not, as far as I know, nearly as rich as some of these actors and musicians and everybody in Hollywood. Think about how easy, if you have enough money, you can cover up whatever the fuck you want.
Anything.
Epstein.
Anything. So, yeah. Like, what came up in my head when I was, like, watching this and thinking about it was one of the reviews said that it was QAnon adjacent and that it pandered to a bunch of QAnon fans. Why? Because he references child organ harvesting, which
is
by the way,
a real thing in China.
It's a real thing. And he said, he goes, I'm not in the documentary. He's like, I'm not going to comment too far on that because I don't know enough. He was like, but let me just say, like, when that part opened up to me and I started realizing how much that happens, he goes, we're going down that path too to try to get some of these sickos. And, you know, he said, I had, like, he has video of him acting like a pedophile trying to buy kids from these peddlers of children.
He's going full Chris Hansen.
And asking them direct questions, and they're like bragging about how young they've been able to, like the person with the youngest victim was like the coolest guy in the group. And yeah, it's really sick shit. And
right, if this doesn't make you aggro, then exactly. Go suck your fucking soy latte, you bitch.
If it doesn't make you angry, and that's exactly what they don't want, because if there's outrage, then things happen. Because you can't stop the mob if the mob is right, you know, pining for justice. And that's exactly what they don't want. It reminded me of when we had Craig the Sawman Sawyer on. Shout out to that fucking dude. His organization, Vets for Child Rescue. Virtually the same thing, but he deals with people in the States. And I brought it up to mom and dad. I go, one of the things that he said was why it took so long to get this guy in prison was because he couldn't get a fucking DA to take the case, because almost every DA, every lawyer, every AG was bought. They were all bought to not fucking touch the child molestation and trafficking shit. Like, what does that say? It's like, do you know how bigger of a light would get shown on it if we actually had a justice system that was like, you know what? Fuck all this. We're going to hit child sex trafficking hard. But they're all bought to not do that one thing exactly.
Right. And a lot of people will say that's too conspiratorial. They're not all bought. They don't have to be bought. Blackmail is a huge part of this.
True.
A huge part. I mean,
that's another thing.
They don't have to be bought. They don't have to be paid shit. They could just be like, guess what? We won't disembowel you in front of your family, okay?
Yeah, or your family.
Go do this. Yeah, or your family in front of you or whatever. It can be real simple. It's mob rule. Yeah.
Like, it's so sad because as soon as you see how blatant it is, you see it everywhere. That's the horrible part is that, like, once you realize it's so blatantly obvious in certain cases that that's exactly what they're doing, and you realize the implications of the people and organizations involved, you go, holy shit, they really are doing this. When something gets brought to light that they don't want to be brought to light, the next thing they do is they ruin that person's life and everybody that they know. The next thing you'll see is some relative that had nothing to do with the movie, that had nothing to do with any of it, get brought up just so that they can bring up the guy who everybody knows and shit on him some more. Like, you know, beating the proverbial dead horse. It's like, once you see it, then you see it everywhere.
That makes an example. This is exactly the same type of mafia type shit that goes on. They make an example out of this one guy so that anybody else who's on the same track is thinking about coming up forward with that goes, is it worth my 2-year-old, you know, being beheaded in front of me? I mean, right. That's gross, but like, these people are nuts. They'll stop at nothing to protect whatever they have. But let's go on to something a little lighter, Jesus Christ, before we get out of here. I've got a couple minutes left, Matt. I know it's 3 hours later over there. I wanted to do a little bit of the, we kind of touched on it at the beginning, but the AI thing and where you think that's going. I think everybody who listens to the show is well aware of what I think of it and that I am now of the opinion that I can't trust anything we watch or hear. Even this podcast, don't trust me. Fuck it. I could be a fucking robot. Who knows? You don't know me. But it makes me think that it's been going on for a lot longer than that, too, mm-hmm. especially at a mainstream level in mainstream media, that who fucking knows how many of these videos have been deepfaked for years, and they're just now kind of revelation of the method, it, you know, coming out and being like, look, you can make this guy look like he's saying this. You can make it look like Donald Trump is having sex with Hillary, and it looks real. Even sounds like it, which is disgusting, but you can do that. So where do you think that's going, or do you think it's going to play any role in the next, I guess it's a dumb question, but in this next year, election year, and whatever else is going on?
I think this is obviously their heavy push, right? It gets back to the misinformation. If they can muddy the waters even further with AI, and I see it a lot, and that's another reason why I started getting out of the old world, was you're just seeing AI picture after AI picture that are out there, and people are trying to get people to push them as real, you know, kind of to discredit the real work that's been done to show some of this old world stuff. And I mean, you're seeing stuff from aliens to monsters to buildings that didn't exist. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It makes it hard to trust anything, like you were saying, Joe. Like, I don't know, anything I see now, I'm like, it could be fake. You know, that's that first thing that comes into my head. It's like, okay, I watch it and I'm like, well, I saw it, but it could be fake. It could just be fake now. And now you have to use, you know, extra levels of discernment when looking at this stuff.
Well, and I think we just brought this up on another show. I think, was it Bill Casey, the CIA or ex-CIA director,
yep.
that said our disinformation, you know, plan will be complete when everything the American people believe is a lie. It's worse than that, though, is because we're, like Ben said earlier, we're kind of right where they want us, where we don't believe anything. That used to be okay because you could easily, well, not easily, but, you know, kind of parse things out and figure out what was true or not. But now it's at this point where I so don't believe anything anymore. Where does that leave me? Right where they want me. Because
Because what are you going to do then? If you don't believe any of it's real, you're not going to act on any of it because you're just like, this is all bullshit.
It's all fake and gay. Who cares?
Well, you know. And the thing that I've, because I know exactly what you're talking about, Matt, where you're watching something on maybe something that was interesting and they're actually being able to bring it to life in a way that gives you a visual representation of what has already been theorized for maybe decades. And they couldn't do that. And it's really awesome. It's a great tool, just like guns. And then the bad guy gets a hold of the tool and they use it for fucked up shit. I was watching a documentary on the Nazca lines. Didn't know anything about them. It's fucking wild.
That's a weird one.
But I'm sitting there looking at it, and even like Lene, when she was watching it, she's like, some of this is just like they're reaching too far on a lot of this. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's true. I'm sure that there's some truth in that, and it is really fucking interesting. But Unreal Engine 5 has been around for like 10, 15 years, while the Unreal Engine 1, 2, 3, and 4 were picking up steam and they were doing it for video games. It's like, dude, they said that Unreal Engine 5 has been available to Hollywood for like 10 years. And I'm like, that makes way more sense. Watch the Marvel franchise, you watch all this other stuff, which is like all CGI. And it's like, that's why it looks so fucking real. That's why everybody was mind blown, is because if they're on Unreal Engine 5 now as a free software development tool, guess what one they're actually on? Probably like 10.
Then you see all these supposed school shootings, and not to be a Handy Shook thing again, because people get sued for that, Alex Jones. But you look at some of these, like, and it went away really quick, which is weird, but I think it was last year or the year before, the one where the dude live streamed going through
Tennessee.
Do you know how fucking easy that would be to CGI? And
yes,
I don't want to say fake the whole thing, but to have crisis actors that what are actually there in that location to make it look like that's happening. Like,
what about the Muslim mosque that guy blew away in New Zealand when he did the body cam footage of all of the different weapons killing like 162 people, and he put it on basically Meta Live, where it was like Facebook and Instagram. Pardon me.
Yeah, you got some things going on there.
I just hiccups.
Okay.
And I remember opening up my Instagram, watching an entire video of this dude fucking blowing people away, thinking that it was like the next trailer for a video game. And I'm like, I had no fucking idea. And then as soon as I realized it was like real, I went, oh, I was excited and I shouldn't be excited. I'm so sorry. But then, of course, that other thought comes in where I'm like, well, hold on a second. If I'm accidentally thinking that something that's real is a video game, and I'm talking like for 2.5 minutes, I thought that shit was a video game. Like, I saw a lot of people.
It still
die.
Might be. If it's any consolation, it still might have been.
And I just thought it was like another Cops and Robbers Call of Duty. No. And I went, oh, we're there. Like, we're there. Like, you see something like that, and you may not know if it's a video game or it's fucking real, because that's what we've got to. They're coming out with a new game right now. The whole game is based off of actual body cam footage that they are then putting into an overlay. It's that whole photogrammetry thing. And I'm like, it's so scary real that I go, if somebody independent is doing this, dude, they have so much better shit that they've been doing to us on TV for so long.
Yep.
Between that and my thing is, what are they going to do with Bluebeam? Because I think that's going to come into play, because with all the stuff that's going, you know, they spray in the skies and all the stuff that goes on with weather manipulation and things like that. I think a Bluebeam is
imminent,
really the direction they're going to go. Yeah.
There's a couple schools of thought on that, too, though. A lot of people think Bluebeam has been being used for quite some time, too, and it has more to do with, like, the propaganda nature, not just UFOs or things in the sky, but like literal mind control through these devices that we all stare at 10 hours a day. You know,
well,
like,
some people say that 9/11 is part of Bluebeam.
Yeah. I mean, like they figured out that blue light is not great for you for sleeping, like after a certain time of day. Hardly anybody avoids that. You're watching Netflix so you go to bed.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying that's Bluebeam, but like when you start looking at all these different things, it doesn't have to be something so fantastical as holographic images in the sky, which, by the way, also had that technology for fucking years now. Look at the Tupac mm-hmm. concert. Come on. Like, you think they haven't gotten better at it since then? That's the other thing. Somebody could be videoing something that they think is legitimately real and have a real reaction to that could be a staged holographic thing. We've mentioned it on the show before. Look up the weird, I think it was from Japan, the whale in the gym that comes down. It's all holographic. And it looks like it's slamming into the floor of the gym.
They did that in the Panthers football stadium.
Yeah. Mm.
This huge cat comes in and comes over top of the stadium and then jumps on the field and then jumps in the crowd. And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think I was on it was on somebody else's show, I think. But what I was saying is they don't even need that medium or that substrate anymore. Like, they used to have like smoke or fog, and that's how you'd project the hologram. That's not even needed now.
Mm-mm.
They can just make it look like that's there, and it's fucking not. So,
you know what my theory is on this? Is I think that the whole reason why they do things that are visibly, noticeably fake is to keep us in a state of thinking we know the difference.
Well, and because to beta test it, to see how realistic it really is.
Is the holograms and stuff, they're doing that because it's novel and we can tell it's fake. We look at it and go, oh, hey, that's a neat trick. However, I think that they're doing that so that we don't know when something is fake that looks extremely real that they want us to believe is real.
Right.
Like people?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, talk to Dave Zed, man. I will never forget that conversation. It was one of the best conversations from somebody that we knew prior to doing what he does now. And then talking to him, and Joe was like, so I know you can't like tell me yes or no. And he even said ahead of time, he's like, I'm going to be saying a lot of in my opinions, I believe. He's like, you know, these are not the opinions by the people that I work for. And Joe's like, do you think that there are people around us that are not actually people? And he's all, yeah. He's like, let's just put it this way. He's like, some of my coworkers are not what you would think they are. And I'm like, oh, shit.
That's why people are worried about this UFO alien invasion thing. I'm like, I think that happened a long fucking time ago. And whatever the fuck, wherever the fuck they come from or whatever they are, they're already here. They've integrated. And now we have Joe Biden as president, maybe for a second term.
He was the beta testing. Yeah.
It's like from Men in Black, pre-programming much, you know, sugar mm-hmm. and water, sugar water, you know, what's his name?
An Eggersuit.
Yeah. It's like wearing a skin suit. And sometimes Biden actually looks like he's wearing a fucking skin suit. It's disgusting and weird. And he's old and gross. And probably smells too.
That's a great.
Well, if you shit your pants, you're going to smell.
Oh, yeah. And he does that. Always shitting his pants.
Where's your home? Are you in Oregon?
Yeah. He's going to have nonstop fucking.
You put him in. Put...
Yeah, we're going to have like sound drops for days. Thank you, Mr. Biden. You
he
fucking
did
boner.
So much for people's humor. I'll say that.
I was worried about that when I was like, oh, Biden's, it's not going to be near as interesting as Trump. Oh my God, it's been a gold mine. Holy shit.
Not only is it great, it's even better when they try to cover up for him and act like what he does is acceptable and normal.
They're all. Yay.
Yeah. What like we're guy. Just supposed to, this is normal behavior of our president.
Yeah.
I used to like to come up and lay my hairs down under the pool and then watch him stand back up. I'm like, what?
Ben, that was 5 years ago too.
I know.
Think about five years of regression since.
Oh my
God. 5 years of just straight downhill since.
Yeah. He plummeted so fast. It's so funny.
Oh, I did on the last show. I totally forgot to mention that it was Jen's birthday last Saturday. And of course, she's not here, but we do have a special. Every year I play this for her.
Happy birthday, dear Zalvin.
I'm not sure what name that is, but it's Jen now. I mean, I took control of that. Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Oh, before we get out of here, too, I also wanted to mention a Instagram lady from, I'm assuming you're a lady, sorry if I misgendered you, but it's Hedvika. She said she's from Prague, Czech Republic, and was asking whether we watched this documentary called Builders of the Ancient Mysteries. I have not, and I want to check it out, and she included a link, And I guess I'll throw that in the show notes too if anybody wants to check that out. Just kind of a one-off. But thanks for sending that in, Hedvika, because I'm looking for a new documentary. It's been a while since I've watched one of those. So,
and shout out to Prague. You'd be surprised at how many people don't send those in. It's a huge boost for us to hear those kind of reviews from people. If you got one, feel free to send it in. If you have a critique and it you know, the headline is, hey, fucking idiots, you know, we're going to click on it. So send them in, send in reviews, whether it's nice, whether it's bad. If you have a critique, hell, half the time we talk about those in the show. But those little things like that, it makes us feel like that we aren't just spinning our wheels.
Not just screaming into the void, like I feel, and like half the time.
Yeah, and even though that's what we enjoy doing and it's fun, it's good to know that people are out there and they appreciate it. So thank you for sending that in.
Yes, thank you. And Matt, before we go, anything you want to plug besides Great Deception, Monday Night Master Debaters? Anything else you got on the horizon coming soon?
No, not really. Just doing that, working Master Debaters and my show. I'm doing a lot less of my research shows right now. It's just too time consuming.
Boo.
And life is moving at a warp speed right now. So, but yeah, no, just check me out on Instagram, Great Deception Podcast. I do have a Patreon if you want to check that out. I got a bunch of old books over there, and I'm starting to put documentaries over there from other people that I, you know, start a little library, a collection of that shit. Like I put the lost history of Flat Earths over there, and
great series. Kind of
archive some shit.
Yeah, just stuff that and people that I'm surprised how many people haven't seen some of these that I just expect are like normal documentaries. So,
well, not everybody has 8.5 fucking hours to watch a documentary like that. I do sometimes,
dude. But. Yeah, when we talked about that the first time, that shit blew my mind.
Yes, yeah, I didn't even watch it, and that's the crazy part is that when I first went through that series, I had my phone playing YouTube with the brightness all the way down, so it didn't, you know, fuck the battery too bad. And I just left it on a tire when I was working at Goodyear and was running around the warehouse listening to that 5.5 hours just because I was like, it still got me. I don't need to see it. I'm still like, bleh.
No, it's wild shit. And that's one of those ones where it's not, it actually doesn't even really matter if all of that is 100% accurate. He's just kind of saying, and I know he went back on a lot of that stuff, but just listening to it, it's a whole perspective shift. You start looking at things way different. You don't have to believe all of it. You just start looking at things different and going, wait a minute.
It gets your question bone really going, because it's like
question boner.
Yeah, or your question boner. That's boner. Even better one. Stick it with that. It does, because even if his answers to those questions were incorrect or he was off on stuff, the fact that those questions were asked causes you to shift how you see things, because now you're asking questions just immediately. When I see a fucking house that has half of a window sticking up out of the ground, I go, oh my God, it's been there for way longer. I'm like, oh shit, what the fuck's underneath there? Why is the earth all the way up to the first window? They didn't build it like that. It's still decorated halfway down on the ground. What the fuck? Like, yeah, and
for the most part, the answer to a lot of these things are going to be really mundane. But no, putting yourself in the default state of being like, really? Like, you know, someone comes up and is like, I'm a cop, you're under arrest. I'm like,
I don't believe
you. Are you? No. I'm gonna need proof of that. How many sources do you have?
Show me your badge. That's plastic. You got that out of a cracker.
Badge isn't good enough.
He's like, well, most cops would be like, I have one source and one documentation, and now you don't exist anymore. Just for good measure. You got to double tap if you're a cop.
It's called the security round.
All right, guys, let's head out of here. I'll put this shit up and see how long it lasts on YouTube. That'll be fun. And for all you fucks on YouTube that like to like downvote and then not say anything.
Oh, fucking scum.
Hunts.
I don't know what to tell you. The fuck off isn't good enough for you. It's just dumb that you have enough time to go, don't like it.
At least back it up with words. It's so passive aggressive. It's like, dude, if you want to shit on us right. Write out a review about how fucking retarded we are. At least then we get to read and go.
And for the most part, I'll probably agree with you as long as it's well written and you don't sound like a fucking retard.
Well, that's the thing. You get the people that just contribute, this is retarded. And I'm like, wow, thanks for the great contribution to the discussion right
now. Want to expound?
And I have one for you.
What up, retarded faggots?
Oh, so are you. Oh, look, I can say names. I can make mouth noises. Duh. Duh. Fucking idiots. All right, I guess we can end on that. That's a great place to end. I love it. All right, thanks, Matt. I'll include all your links and whatnot in the show notes, as well as that documentary that... Oh, my God, I got to look up the name again. Sorry. Hedvika, if I'm saying that right. Probably not, but I'm white and American. So, you know. All right, guys, have a great night. We will see you next week.
Bye-bye.